Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piattelli.
Welcome to part two of our interview with our outstanding guest, Brian Vana, varsity head coach, Lincoln Sudbury, and head coach of Team Italia. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Brian, we had this conversation once before, but we both agree I would take a good man over a great coach with an ego. Like, coaches, especially at high school and youth level, who their ego is bigger than the game. And they're right. I mean, I think as a coach, you're really at the high school and youth level, at all levels, I mean, there's no place for an ego. And you're a good man. I think Kyle is a good man. I think I'm a pretty good person. But what you've done is you surrounded yourself with a lot of good people. You talked about your assistant coaches who do an outstanding job, but they both played. One played at Duke. One was a great player at Springfield. Played professionally, but they put their egos aside for the kids because they're good people, and we want to work with good people. We have good people in the game. They're going to do the right thing. It's the guys who have the egos who don't do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in any walk of life. You know, exactly. It's any walk of life, and I think, you know, I agree with you totally. I don't know. I've always just tried to stay around. You know, I'm not mentioning Tim Jason, who was with me for 17 years. You know, you look up the definition of integrity in the dictionary, and that's Tim. And I had that guy ahead of me on so many important decisions during my coaching career where I was going the other way or doing something that was like, you know, it was gray. It was like, yeah, we could get away with that. But, you know, Tim was like, we're not doing that. What's wrong with you? You know, he didn't just correct me. He made me feel terrible, you know, at times. But so I've been around those people. And I think you want to know the there's no sauce at LS. There's no secret. Our kids work hard. Our coaches work hard. And we work hard at community first, at Wimattin first. And we get ripped on that all the time. It's so awesome to hear other teams, you know, ripping us about it, where they think it's like this other thing than what it really is, which is just being focused on other people, being men built for others and the community. I mean, it's literally, that's what Wimattin is, you know? And I think there's a lot of young coaches. And when I was a young coach, I didn't know any of this. I would have listened to me and said, who is this loser? Yeah, like, what's wrong with him? He doesn't want to win.
I was an awful young coach.
Yeah.
Let me ask something. Would you agree, are you a better coach once you became a father?
Absolutely, and a youth coach. Both of those things really turned for me. I lost a player in 2001 that I had to give a eulogy for, and that changed me as a coach as well. That woke me up to really, understand who I was coaching. I think when you are coaching at the youth level, you see little boys, and what you understand after doing that for a long time is that at least I think this way, is that the kids that I'm coaching at the high school are just older little boys. They're just boys. You know, they're just boys. And they're not going to get it. And they're not going to get everything that you tell them. And they're just not. And once you understand that, you become less stressed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's less anxiety. And again, some of my kids who are listening to this will be like, coach still has some serious anxiety during practices and games. But you just become less angstful and you become more confident in your ability to coach. But yeah, having kids has been important.
Yeah, my experience was with my daughter. I remember when she was playing soccer, young, third grade, and 15 kids on the team. And the coach only pretty much spent time with seven or eight other players. Mm. And one of those seven or eight that she wasn't paying any attention to was my daughter. Obviously, I didn't say anything. But when I started coaching with those 15 kids on the lacrosse field, or 18, I said, well, all these kids are my daughter. Yeah. I'm going to spend all my time with all 15. whether we have the worst kid in terms of ability-wise or the best kid, we're all going to make them better. We're all going to have fun and play together as a team. I'm not going to just, you know, focus on the five or six, because as when you become, you don't want your kid to be treated that way, so there's no reason why you should treat any other kid that way.
No, agreed. Back to your question, I don't know the answer. You know, I think some guys are too young. I think maybe some...
So many young coaches.
I think some guys are still young. I think they're not parents. I think they haven't coached in the youth. Mm-hmm. And I think very potentially they didn't have a great relationship with their coach. You know, you find out that there's, you know, back when we coached, there was coaches coached for different reasons. You know, I think coaching is somewhat universal over time. You know, people want to get involved for lots of different reasons.
No question.
And, you know, what was great for me was that I got involved with coaching without my kids. So I was able to do it for the reason, for actually just being around players. So I think that you got all that baggage. You know, someone may have had a crappy coach. Someone's still not maybe a parent. Maybe someone's still not coaching in the youth program. Maybe they're still young. That's like a quadruple threat right there to potentially be a bad coach.
Yeah,
I didn't have those things, and I still screwed it up, you know. So, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I do think this. I think that we've lost a lot of good coaches in Eastern Massachusetts over the last 5 years to retirement, and we talk about it all the time. We all feel like we're old enough where we finally could help a young coach, you know, and answer. And Wayne Puglisi and I have talked about that a lot. About, you know, having like a network of people that could just call and say, hey, I got this problem, or I'm dealing with this situation, or what do I do? And I would have loved to have had, you know, somebody like that. You know, I had Tim, who was actually younger than me, but was, you know, years ahead of his time. But, you know, it's something that could help a lot of coaches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to change subjects and talk about the Italian national team a little bit about...
I want to ask you one more thing, though. Okay, so, sure. Before we started,
he doesn't like Italians.
No, my girlfriend is from Sicily.
You gave him an Italian hat. I hope he wears it.
I'm gonna wear it, or she's gonna wear it. She's gonna love being mentioned on the podcast. By the way, she's a huge fan of yours. Oh, right. Not necessarily me.
Can't blame her.
What's her? Of course not. Her name's Danielle.
Danielle.
So, before we started, I asked you. I pulled up the sheet that we have for commits, college commits, and I was like, hey, do you have any new guys? You got any guys for 23, 22? And why don't you only have like three on both our lists? And you're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't do that.
I don't even know who's on the list.
I know.
Okay.
Why don't you do that?
I think, again, all the things that we're trying to do with the kids, they'll get noticed and they'll land somewhere. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's not to say that I didn't help them. You know, I'm sure you know.
I'm not saying you don't know.
Yeah, I've always taken a business person's approach to helping our kids get into college, always. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many we have. I should know the exact number. I think we're just under 40 or just at 40 players playing in college right now at all levels. You know, right. We don't just hero worship the D1 guys, you know, we have D1 studs, we have D1 walk-ons, and we have D1s guys who don't play much, and we have guys who are running their club team. I'm as proud as those guys.
Sure.
As anybody. I mean, you know.
At the college level.
Yeah, at the college level, exactly. And so, you know, I know we have them, and I was most likely the person that talked to them or their coach on the last moment of it all. Most likely, I would say 99% of them, sure. Right? But, you know, I learned something a long time ago again, Kyle, is that that became the focus at one point.
Right.
And here's the thing, right? So this is going to resonate with you so much, right? We loved playing. Good. You loved playing lacrosse. I know, because I played against you, and I hated playing against him, you know, because he was very good, and he would freaking score at some point and slash my arms if I made a save, if I made one. And, you know, we had great battles, and I always respected you as a player. But I know how much you loved playing. Mm-hmm. That was our focus.
That's it.
Our focus was enjoying the game. And I don't believe, I know the focus has become the destiny of where these kids go. And listen, I'm part of that problem. I was part of that problem by making that the goal. And what I realized was is that after you leave high school, it is a crapshoot for kids, mm-hmm. a crapshoot for players. Yeah. You could be the best goalie, the best attackman, the best whatever at your high school, and you could go and they could just have a group of kids that are just a little bit better. And that kid may never play, or that kid may blow his knee out, or that kid may encounter a coach that doesn't really care about him. Mm-hmm. And the destiny is not that great sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to focus on, I hate this, the journey, like it sounds like a book, but I'm just trying to focus on the experience with the kids. And that's working. Mm-hmm. That's working because I know, because I still get letters and calls from kids, thankfully, regularly about thanking me about like, hey, I had such a great time. I have a kid that's going on to a very high profile Division I school right now who's doing another year somewhere, and before he goes, and he's just like, it's just not even close, coach. It's just not even close to the experience that I had. And so I'm bummed that he's feeling that way, but I'm glad that he had the experience. So mm-hmm. so I do care where the kids go because I want them to go to the right place.
Right.
But as far as promoting that or whatever, our kids are not focused on that. They're excited. Right. I mean, listen, they're all excited to go to schools and do what they do. But it's just not what we focus on. Mm-hmm. They'll get there.
Yeah.
Our kids will get there at some point. They will.
When you think about the big picture, the announcement, the commitment, it's just so overrated. And
it's a minute.
It's like the parents and the player have gotten to the finish line.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're you know, great things have just happened.
Yeah.
But you've been quoted, and actually a good friend of ours who's the Longmeadow head coach has also been quoted saying, high school players should enjoy their high school years. Mm-hmm. It's the best time of your life. Everything else will fall into place. And it's so true. These kids are so caught up. And, you know, you go to a high school lacrosse game and everybody's talking about, oh, this team has 17 Division I commits and this team has three or four and this and that. And that team should beat that team. But the team that doesn't have as many tends to be competitive and in some cases win because, you know what, they're not focused on that and they're more of a team. When I was playing in high school, I mean, I just love practices. I love running fast breaks, 6-on-6, 4-on-3. And, you know, I just loved it. I couldn't wait to get out to lacrosse practice. I thought lacrosse practices, in terms of all the sports I played, football, hockey, and lacrosse, was the most fun for me. The games were awesome. The teammates I've had over the years. I never thought about recruiting. I never even knew there was recruiting. There was coaches out there actually looking at us. You know, and my high school coach came up to me, like, middle of my senior and said, oh, this coach, these coaches are all interested in maybe you coming and playing for them. Where did this all happen? Where did this all come from? But I was just having so much fun. And that's really what it's all about.
Right, but it was just, for us.
It was. It's different.
You know, it was for us. And now, to Keith's point, he's right. It is, and it's, but sadly, there's just not a lot of people pushing that as an outcome. Right. That's, you know what I mean? They're pushing this final destination, which again, I have screwed that up too. You know what I mean? And but just seeing it as not the destination, or not the culmination of what we did. It was the culmination for us. Like, we went to high school, we played in college, we played, you know, afterwards, and you know, we that was like a culmination, right?
Yeah, and it was friendships.
Right, agreed.
I mean,
right,
friendship, the most, our the best friends are guys we played with 30 years ago.
Agreed. Yep. And high school and afterwards. But
can
for
I just
a lot
say
of
this?
These guys, that's not.
At the Princeton-Cornell game this past weekend, four of my college teammates showed up to watch my son play, my two sons play.
Yeah.
That was from 85, 86.
Yeah.
And it just tells you know.
But back to it, right? So
to me, to see them watch my kids play and me being there and, mm-hmm. you know, we got together and that's what it's all about.
Well,
you know,
to that point though, to that end, you know, the I guess maybe a lot of older coaches have been doing it so long. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, we have the opportunity of just being here a long time, you know, and seeing what happens after a kid graduates. Right.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to someone the other day who was like hero worshiping us or our program about all the wins and, you know, and so on and so forth. And listen, it's great to hear. It's great that our program has done awesome. I love being competitive. I want to win every game we play. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. And he knows that, right? So we want to. But if you knew how many groups of guys that I've coached and how many groomsmen I've coached, mm-hmm. where I'm going to weddings, I don't know, 3 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years later, and five out of the seven groomsmen are their high school teammates.
Yeah.
People don't see that unless you're at the wedding of the kid you've coached since he was 12.
Yeah.
Or since he was 17. They don't understand groomsmen. And for me, I believe that's what my high school program's goal should be. And that's what the high school experience should be. And so many kids are focused on their Instagram tape mm-hmm. or video, whatever your buddy was making, and where they committed, and distancing themselves from those other groomsmen. They just don't know it. And nobody right. is pushing that sauce. Mm-hmm. No one's pushing that moment. And well, here's why. Because they're not at the weddings.
I don't think they yeah, can, though. Here's the thing, though. Like so to that point, you know, I was the best man at both my high school teammates' wedding, and my best friend in college is, who was also my teammate at Clark's wedding, right? And I don't think, like, we came in as, like, you know, we were the best players on our teams, respectively. That doesn't, it's all relative. It doesn't really mean anything. But, like, people in high school, that gave us respect.
Means nothing to me.
I know. In high school, that gave us respect. In college, it didn't matter at all. And that, I think, is the difference. The thing that it gave us in college is a different connection to everyone else on the team because we had a strong connection.
Yeah.
Not on the field. Like, we played different positions. But we would go against each other in practice every day. We would play hard every day. And we would slash the crap out of each other all the time and laugh. And, like, our teammates were like, "You're a psycho." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." It's the you build more with effort than you build with, "Oh, I'm cool. I'm going to score goals and look cool."
Yeah, I agreed. I think to myself of our teams play together in the off season. You know what I mean? They go mm-hmm. to tournaments. They play in different tournaments in the off season. They go against other high schools that do that.
Yep.
And while we tell them they can go do anything else as well, we ask them to, you know, make sure that they're playing with their teammates at some point. And some people say, "Oh, well, it's the way you're good, or that's the reason, because you can put in sets or schemes.
Or you play this or
whatever
way
because, it is. So you're good." Yeah, yeah, that's not it. It's they get to know each other. They're in the hotel room playing knee yeah. hockey. You know what I mean? Or in their pool, mm-hmm. you know, half drowning each other. Right? That's what they're doing technically. You know, they might be playing a little bit of lacrosse. Two, it's also our way of getting recruited because there's a lot of college coaches that go to those tournaments now.
Yep.
But there's an experience there with those kids that is going to last. And I've seen it mm-hmm. because I've seen the groomsmen. I see what it means later on. And maybe I would have been guessing at this years ago, but I'm not guessing anymore. This is really the way it is. And so, yeah, we fight for that.
Yeah.
You know, we fight for that moment. And, you know, Jake Beebe just got married. You know, and who's there? You know, Keith Bugby's there, his coach, and all his groomsmen. They're all his teammates. You know, all the guys that are at the wedding, they're all former mm-hmm. guys that I've coached. And to see that time and time again makes me realize that we need to focus on this period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have you been asked to coach in college or, you know, me in college? Or it's not what I want to do. I want to be around at this age of kids.
Yep.
You know, I feel like I can be more impactful.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
The Men's Lacrosse Championships, where speed and power meets precision and creativity. And they give it everything they got, from face-off to the final whistle. Go big for every goal. Go beyond your limits and enter the NCAA universe. The Men's Lacrosse Championships, May 28th through 30th at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut. Get your seats today at ncaa.com/mlacrosse.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
College coaching is hard, man.
Yeah.
People don't know how hard
it is. I don't envy any of them.
It's not. It's at lower level, higher level, middle level, divisions, doesn't matter. It's a lot of it is breaking and building. And that's, you know, at high school, that's way, and this is what I found recently, the last 2 years, so much, not easier, so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right? And, yep. And I think that's kind of, you know, and I want to touch on your event that you kind of talked about, the, you know, New England High School Showcase, NELS. It is, I went to it last year. I'm going to go this year. And it's not just because there's like a ton of college coaches there or whatever. It's because it's a very unique event and you get to see guys play. The seniors don't usually play, like they don't play in the event all the time, right? The graduating ones.
Yeah, no, they don't.
So it's the first peek at the next group of kids coming up for all these different programs, top 50 nationally, regionally, whatever. Oh, yeah. And you get to see like I saw, I watched BC High a bunch last year, but I got to see Carter Rice's brother be the guy at NELS. And I was like, oh, I get it now. You know,
you get to see all your deficiencies right away. The kids see it. Mm-hmm. It allows a kid who's a sophomore who maybe doesn't play too much now, have to become the guy.
Yeah.
Early on, and they get into these tournaments and they're not playing nobody.
Right.
They're playing real programs. Mm-hmm. Ward Melville, Smithtowns, Mountain Lakes, Darien, Summit, New Jersey, Ridgewood, you know, teams from the West Coast, St. Ignatius Prep, like crazy teams. And that kid, who's a stud, by the way,
he's very good.
Really good. He has to be the guy, and he knows right away in June. Mm-hmm. Before, almost 9 months before his season, that, oh my God, I need to step up. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great for the kids' growth. It is great for us to help showcase the kids as well. But again, they're learning how to be a team in June, mm-hmm. versus learning how to be a team in March of the following year. And I think that has been a staple for us. It has definitely helped us from the camaraderie and the community piece of it alone. Mm-hmm. It has been fantastic. All the parents go together. Like, my boys don't play anymore in that grouping. So, you know, there was a few years there where I was able to just go be a dad, which is because mm-hmm. I can't coach. And it's just an awesome time for us. And, you know, we've been doing it now for, this will be the fifth year. The teams that come every year always exceed the year previous. Mm-hmm. But the level of play last year, you know,
it's very high.
Very high. I watched, I think it was Del Barton lose their first game to somebody. I watched Fairport get beat pretty good by a team from Oregon, mm-hmm. you know, and Fairport's good. You know, like these are, you know, us have a 2-goal game with Ridgewood, you know, or 1-goal game with Ridgewood, we won. I mean, like, and that actually lets the kids kind of feel like, hey, we belong. Mm-hmm. You know, we belong. You know, St. John's Prep comes, BC High comes every year now, and they know the value of it. You know, they see it as well. So it came out of necessity for us, though, too. You know, we got invited to play in this in the summer of, going into the summer of 2016, I believe, yeah. So it's the end of, we had just won the state championship in 2015. And it was that summer, and Bob Shriver, who runs NHSLS, legendary coach down in Maryland, as you guys might know, he called and said, hey, you know, I think you guys have a good team. Would you guys want to play? I'm like, well, I can't coach it. I can ask the parents if they want to do something. And I think the big thing about that moment was for us, and this goes back to the community and the Wimatin piece for us, is we had in the 2016 class, we had these four kids who were, we had five kids that were just lights out in the 2016 class. And four of them played in a for a big club. And there was a big club event that weekend that they were all committed. They were already done. Right. But it was like this kind of like showcase moment for all the guys. And they all had to choose whether or not they did that or this. And those guys who were our best players were also our best leaders and were our best community guys. They were the best kids in the school, right? Not just athletically, but like leadership in the school. We have this program called MVP, Mentors in Violence Prevention. They all led it, you know. They were great kids. And they decided to do it. So Bob Shriver sends out the the schedule, and we opened with Calvert Hall, who was picked to win the MIAA that year. And I remember calling Bob, I'm like, I was coaching my sons up in Massachusetts. I'm like, thanks for going easy on us, you know, day one. And we lost by a goal. And Calvert Hall won the whole thing. And we went 5-1. And, you know, there was no other team that was invited from Mass at that point. And we did really well, and we kept doing really well. And our kids, the confidence from playing those teams for us drove us. So that's the reason for this, is that we were traveling so much, and I said, hey, maybe we can just do something locally. I know all the high school coaches around the country. I can call 20 of them. We don't want to make it a huge event. I don't want it to be a 40-team event. I know we could, but I want to make it really 20 to 25 guys who are good men coaches. Jim Davidson at Summit, Timmy Flynn at, we just won a 700th game at Mountain Lakes, Matt Kovacek at Del Barton. I don't know if you've met any of these guys. They are incredible, incredible people. Ian O'Hearn at Mercer Island in Washington State. You know, I mean, this is, you get to meet all these guys, and, you know, I run it with Jeff Braymeyer from Darien. So it's been awesome. You know, that piece, the event, it's cool. There is a lot of recruiting. You know, you get 100 college coaches there. They're watching, and they're gaining a lot of traction on our kids, and kids are absolutely getting recruited there. But seeing those kids compete with each other and compete against those top teams is really it's unbelievable.
The other thing those coaches want to see, though, they want to see what the kids like outside of a club atmosphere in person.
Well, okay, so here's the thing: you have to write about guys that can run and rip. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's what people need to know about that. I don't have a lot of run and rip guys. Yep. You know, I have secondary players from this. I have role guys. I have a lot of role players on my team. And, I mean, listen, we have some really good players, too. Yep. But we have a lot of role players. And, you know, those guys aren't getting seen in a club event. Because... you know where I'm going to go with this. Our guys are taught to dodge, draw the double, and move the ball quickly. Or so that we can get it to someone else who can dodge and draw a weakened slide, you know, or a compromised slide. Our guys are taught to move the ball a second or third time to score a goal. That doesn't happen in a lot of events. That's why I was so enamored with the 2017 team that you had, because those kids played, you know, the three coaches' kids playing together, for crying out loud. You know, you can't get more unselfish kids than the three of those kids. I mean, I'm not just saying that. They really are, right? Those kids get lost at a club event. A lot of my guys get lost because they're dodging, moving the ball to the next guy, and they're never seeing it again. And so when they play together in these events, Kyle, they already know the systems. They already know that we're moving the ball. They're already in position to dodge because they know someone's going to send it to him. I just think it looks better. Yeah. And for our town, that's a good thing. It's not great for every town.
Yeah. I watched you guys play, and the thing that I just took with me, that I remembered about it, is you had just tireless two-way guys that, like, did... It's not that they didn't care about scoring the goal, but, like, they didn't care about their own celebration for the goal. They all did it together, which I was like, oh, okay. Because, listen, again, I'm kind of new to that, right? Like, I'm kind of new to experiencing that side of high school lacrosse that isn't a place where I work in, so a different state, right? It's a different whole philosophy in general. But watching LS for the first time for me, other than watching like whatever tape I could get, like in person is different. You gotta, as the recruiters like to say, you gotta get on the ground and smell the ponies. you can't just watch it on a screen the whole time, right? Like you have to actually experience it. And the thing that I remember is two guys on every ground ball, one guy comes out with it. It felt like you won every GB, and it's because it was like not a system, but like a understanding. Like a guy would get it and he would break and he would move it off the ground, right? He doesn't just run into three guys. It's a smart way to play in the middle of the field, like, but the control
kids,
the middle.
The kids, listen, but so does Ward Melville.
Right.
So does Smithtown. So does Hingham.
Sure.
You know, so does St. John's Prep. So does, like, those guys are learning that together. You know, mm-hmm. It's not tolerated, you know, when you're playing with your buddies.
Right.
Whereas in another event, I think it, for the not all the time, but for a lot of it, it's not that way.
Right.
And so guys don't know what to do on a ground ball because they don't even know if a kid's going to go into it. And if he's going to go into it with one hand,
yeah.
And he doesn't want to look bad because someone might not recruit him. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think our kids are comfortable with the fact that they're going to land somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
And our community has done a good job of making them understand that it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about Team Italy. How did that get started with you?
I got a call from Giacomo Bonazzoni, is his name. Chibe, they call him.
All-name team, right away.
Yeah.
All-name team, right away.
He's an all-Italian guy, too. He's a great guy. I got a call from him, said that they were looking for a coach, and they started calling around people in the U.S. and, you know, thinking about people that would be interested in it. I got referred to them. I'm still not sure by who, but it was a few different people.
Yeah.
One of them was Max Sieberlicht, who was the assistant coach at the time at BU. Mm-hmm. Was a good friend and a really great coach. He's now the head coach for Team Israel. He was the Latvia coach, mm-hmm. And now he's the Team Israel coach. So he thought I would be a good candidate, and I typed up a resume for the first time in my life and sent it over and interviewed and ended up going to Italy for Christmas of 2018 out of Rome and interviewed there and got the job. You know, and I think for me, you know, I'm getting older. My time in high school is soon, soon coming to a close at some point. And I just something I thought that I could do for the long haul,
mm-hmm.
and something that I was passionate about. You know, I didn't understand the international game, and it's funny. You know, we enjoyed ourselves over there coaching, but coaching over in Poland against the other international countries, Jack was one of the greatest experiences of my life in lacrosse.
Why?
The goodness of it. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie. The respect for the game, first.
And opponents.
Oh, absolutely. And opponents. After every game, everyone takes a photo together, both teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're genuinely good-natured with each other. There's respect on the field. Everyone knows that at some point someone on the field is learning the game or has accomplished something great for having learned the game in the last 5 years. There is an appreciation for sportsmanship. It's about, it's just so corny, but it's just about love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They love the game. And I'm so grateful to be involved, grateful to be involved with it. Grateful. To my core. And so I felt as though that, you know, I feel like I can build things and know how to you know, I at least have an idea of how to do things like that. And I need to get great people involved with coming to help. And we've done that. You know, I've started a board with a group of guys who I care for. And everyone is in and everyone's volunteering and everyone loves being a part of it. But being over there and being with the guys is like being at a youth practice, except they're 22 to 38-year-old guys. Andrea Lubrano, who is our captain, is one of the first guys who played over in Italy. He's from Rome. He runs, you know, all these guys run, they run their city. Mm-hmm. They're the guys. They're the guys starting lacrosse. So you think of all the people in this state that have started the game. I'm coaching and I'm around the guys who are responsible for starting the game in those cities.
Right.
It, for me, it's like I'm in awe of the opportunity because what I need to do is create a love for the game for them so that they create a love for the game for the kids. And I think the only way that we're going to do that is by just getting great people involved.
Right.
You know?
What is the plan future for the national Italian team? They're going to compete in the World Games. Just talk a little bit about what the next steps are and the, if the players want to get involved, people want to get involved, and where it's headed.
Two sides, really, to Italia lacrosse. There's the Italia Lacrosse North America organization, which we started. Italia Lacrosse North America is really for Canadians and North American and American, sorry, U.S.-based players. What we do is we play in U.S. events or at some international events like we did in Portugal. We're playing in Portugal this summer as well as Ireland this summer. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be great-grandparent, grandparent, or parent in Italy. You have some. You have to have some lineage for Italia, for Italy to play for the Italia Lacrosse North America side. Mm-hmm. That group is going to fund the growth of lacrosse in Italy. We are basically grassroots starting to fundraise, starting to get people involved. When they sign up for the tournaments, they have to pay a fee to be involved, and that fee goes directly to what we're going to do on the ground for Italy. We started a education program with the University of Rome and University of Bologna just recently, where we are sending people over to teach while they're going to school, so they get credit for going to school for a semester, and they're actually teaching lacrosse while they're over there, which is incredible. So that opportunity is just starting. And then the last piece is, so that's how we're going to grow it. We're going to grab Italian Americans, get them playing together, have them help us fund this. We have youth teams from U14, U16, U18. We played last year, which was incredible. You know, we played up in Lake Placid with a group. It was fantastic. And then on the world side, the world stage side of it, we have the Federation of Lacrosse in Italy, which is run by these two fantastic women, Nelia and Ludovica. Literally the inspiration, my inspiration. They're just these two women who are just working really hard to keep going. So in any case, on that side of things, you have to have a little more lineage. You have to have a grandparent or a parent that was born in Italy, and we're working through that. That group, that team in 2023 in the summer, we just qualified, will be a really, really great team. A lot of countries right now, because lacrosse is exploding internationally, mm-hmm. A lot of teams right now are in betwixt this moment of how many Americans do you put on the team versus how many from your own country.
Yep.
And there have been some recent people that have done it the wrong way, some recent countries. We're not going to do that. We're going to have no more than 10 American-based players on the team and 13 Italian-born players on the team. So that's how we're going to build that side of it. But we plan to compete strongly in 2023 by creating that balance. We're going to lose some games because of it, and we could put 23 Italian-Americans on that team, and we would do very well. But
who are the other countries in your group? Do you know yet?
No, I don't know yet. Okay. But
in order to grow the game, you got to have Italian national players on it.
Well, so that's this whole
could you guys talk with your hands more? I didn't. Yeah.
You know, hey,
the plan is that we've started creating youth leagues over there already. Fantastic. And that didn't happen. And we just sent over a container full of equipment, almost $20,000 worth of material that we raised just in, during COVID.
Wow.
To send over there with sticks and wall balls and equipment and all sorts of stuff for them. So it's really going.
Well, we've tried to get you in here for a long time. We finally got you in here, and really, pleasure. A lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Zero disappointment. You delivered on all fronts. I'm very excited about it. I'm happy to get roasted for everyone's enjoyment. And, you know, I actually got emotional during this one. I had to kind of hold back a little bit of an emotional reaction to some of the stuff you were saying, because, like, I'm a kid that didn't grow up with any of that. Any of the things that you give. And it's why I coach now.
Yep.
And I just want to say I really appreciate it.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. You're already changing the cycle.
Thanks. Yeah. To everyone listening, thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journals, Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. Thanks again.
I've seen you get emotional.
Yeah, I get emotional sometimes. I'm actually
good for people to know.
You got a big heart over there. Don't tell anyone. I'm in the middle of thanking our producer. I'm already at the edge.
I got some tissues over here.
Thanks again to Steve Safran. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.